I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
More double-figure seeds that survive the Sweet 16? Or do you prefer, ultimately, as it shakes out and the field is trimmed from 64 to 16, you get more blue bloods? And even if they're not blue bloods, you just get the lower seeds. And by lower, I mean the ones, the twos, the threes, the fours. I don't know why I say it that way, but I do. It's an eternal March conversation. We've got a poll up. No, not a poll. My fault. We've got a question up on Twitter, After Hour CBS, and on our Facebook page. We'll get to more of the headlines from the tournament, including how Iowa got pushed, at least in the first half of its opening game, in Caitlin Clark's Hawkeyes, Lisa Bluter's Hawkeyes. They're in action coming up on Monday night, as the women will have the stage to themselves on Monday with the men. Travel day and practice day and scout getting ready for what's to come next week. On Twitter, on Facebook, our phone number 855-212-4227. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Welcome to a new work week. In fact, the week leading into Easter, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Big East was lamenting this time last week after the selection show and only three teams getting in, wondering how the committee could disrespect them so much. As it turns out, according to UConn head coach Dan Hurley, there's a group chat going around and they are all about the Big East proving that it not only it belongs, but that the committee made a big mistake.
We got a group chat going, and then the other coaches in our league, I saw Kim, I saw Kim and Shaheen, you know, with the full league group chat that we got with the coaches, and I know everyone's fired up to see us, continue to push and rep the league at a high level, and I know Val, Val's excited too. Obviously, the mistake was made, it sucks.
Dan Hurley referencing Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman. So yeah, right now their best hope is that the East continues to rep. Right now it's 6-0. Maybe even gets multiple teams to the third weekend. Well, that would be a lot. But with UConn waving the banner, they are all in on the Big East, proving to the committee this was your mistake. You could have more teams in the field, and we would look even better. Dean Hurley says, it was a mistake, and it sucks. From Brooklyn, the Barclays Center, that's where UConn dominated over the weekend. Zach Braziller of the New York Post covering that pod of the NCAA tournament, and he joins us now here on After Hours. So Dan Hurley speaks about the Big East after the UConn win. There were only three teams that made it, but they are perfect so far. Zach, what's your reaction to that?
It was a really good 4 days for the league when you consider what happened, you know, last Sunday, to only get three teams in. You know, a lot of coaches felt it was disrespectful. The league was obviously very upset about it. But look, the three teams they got in are all into the Sweet 16. I think there's a good chance all three get to Elite Eight. Creighton obviously has the toughest game with Tennessee. I expect Marquette to get past NC State. Expect UConn to get past San Diego State. And look, who knows? Maybe you get multiple Big East teams in the Final Four, which hasn't happened in a long time. So look, it was a really good 4 days for the league, and to only get three in was obviously very disappointing, but to get the results they got was obviously a huge positive.
What stands out about UConn's performance as they try to become the first repeat champion in, what is it, nearly 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, they've been utterly dominant. I mean, they've been really dominant all year. They've lost one game at full strength at Creighton, so which is a very good team, and you know, they obviously didn't really get much of a challenge. I wasn't really surprised at not see Northwestern giving them a game when you can take into account some of Northwestern's injuries, obviously not at full strength. When this bracket came out, I thought their Sweet 16 game would be a very tough game. I expected Auburn to get through. No Auburn, obviously, is a little bit of a break, although San Diego State's clearly capable. Rematch of the national championship game. But right now, I felt this for a while. I thought UConn was better than it was last year. And right now, it looks like they are a machine.
It definitely does feel like they have learned and have really used the experience of last year to get even stronger. How dominant is Donovan Clingan?
That's really, to me, been the biggest thing, you know, the start of this tournament. You know, he had a decent year. He obviously had some injury issues. But right now, he is just playing so well. And it makes him such a good defensive team when he's playing like this, because he is such an elite rim protector. He impacts, you know, defense so much. And the way he's playing on offense right now, they almost look unbeatable. I think San Diego State will pose a challenge. And then whether it's Illinois or Iowa State, that's going to be a tough game in the Elite Eight. But right now, it's hard to see them losing.
Zach Braziller is fresh off the games at Barclays as we're down from 64 to 16 after four crazy days. And that includes games in Brooklyn featuring the defending champions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. How happy is Dan Hurley about his team's performance to this point?
Yeah, look, he was very pleased. That first half was complete domination against Northwestern. I did think it would be a little more competitive. 22-point game at the half, and even a perfectionist like him, there's really not a lot for him to complain about right now. Two blowout wins to start the tournament, that's kind of how you draw it up.
The only thing that stands out to me is how poor, and it's not just UConn, but how poor the Huskies shot from beyond the three-point arc.
Yeah, look, bad shooting games happen, and that is just kind of speaks to their dominance, because, you know, a game when you shoot as poorly as they did from three and to not even get tested or even pushed at all is really impressive. I don't expect them to shoot like that again from three. And, you know, usually you have a shooting game like that, you would think you're going to have to struggle to advance, but
right,
they clearly didn't.
3 of 22 from beyond the arc, but Clingan with 14 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 block shots. What's the crowd like there at Barclays? How pro UConn?
They had a good crowd, but Northwestern, you know, had a good crowd. JMU had a good crowd. It wasn't like the Garden where, you know, it was basically felt like a UConn home game. Obviously, you heard the UConn people because the game was so lopsided, but I expect this coming week in Boston to be different. That's going to be, those are going to be home games. They're going to have a huge, huge crowds, obviously, so close to stores. It's, you know, when you knew where these regions were and you had a feeling they were going to be the one seed, it really, really felt like that's going to be a huge advantage. And I expect it to be, especially facing a West Coast team in San Diego State in Boston. And then the other two, you know, obviously aren't really locals with Iowa State and Illinois. So it's, It's gonna sound like Stores. I think
Stores are Hartford, right? Zach Braziller of the New York Post is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So, which team looked more dominant? Was it UConn or was it Duke?
You know, it's a good question. Duke was really impressive because they weren't great against Vermont. You know, Vermont didn't shoot great in that game, but it was a game for about 25-30 minutes, and I really thought JMU had a shot, especially with how well they played against Wisconsin. But right from the jump, Jared McCain hit one three after another. JMU just didn't bring its game. You know, sometimes with these underdogs, they pull off the one upset and they don't really have much left, and that was pretty clear today. But look, this is a Duke team that's really played well, you know, the second half of the year. McCain and Jeremy Roach and Tyrese Proctor are playing so well. Filipowski is obviously a really good big guy. You know, Duke-Houston's going to be a really interesting game. I think Duke could obviously test them with their rim protection, with their shot making. You know, it's one of obviously a lot of really interesting Sweet 16 games.
So the Duke Blue Devils, they rely on young players like a lot of teams do, blue blood teams do these days in college basketball. John Shire's using a bunch of freshmen. Why does it work for him, or maybe it hasn't worked for other schools? I think Kentucky comes to mind for a lot of people.
Yeah, they're not nearly as reliant on freshmen as Kentucky. Look, you look at their team, Roach is a senior, Filipowski's a sophomore, Mark Mitchell's a sophomore, Proctor's a sophomore. You know, McCain obviously is a big part of their team, but they're very different from Kentucky in terms of they have a lot of guys who've been through this before. You know, that was a kind of a big talking point over the weekend with Duke, is that these guys experienced losing last year to Tennessee in the second round, and it's really kind of motivated them. And, you know, they just seem so much better prepared for this moment. You know, even Vermont the other night, you know, it was close early in the second half, and Duke really responded. And today they were just ready from the jump. It's such a big thing. You know, you're seeing some really good freshmen, whether it's, you know, McCain with Duke, Stephon Castle, UConn, but they're kind of insulated with older guys who've been through it. And that, to me, is such a key compared to a Kentucky where they have so many freshmen. I know they do have a few older guys mixed in, but Kentucky had so many freshmen, and they just did not handle the pressure well when you compare it to what some of these other teams have done.
So, Zach, the big game probably blasted a lot of brackets was the James Madison win over Wisconsin. So one of those classic 12-5s. How much fun was that earlier in the weekend?
Yeah, look, James Madison really had a strong presence there this weekend. Their crowd obviously didn't get a chance to get into it today, but they really brought a lot of fans. You know, you heard the JMU chants walking out of the Barclays the other night onto Flatbush Avenue. They really, you know, their fans really showed out. It's just too bad for them that they really didn't have a chance to get into the game today. But I do think that could have been a factor. You know, Duke didn't have a ton, you know, of support at Barclays. But obviously when it's a 22-point game at halftime, it's so one-sided, that kind of changes things.
Classic kind of March Madness Cinderella. I love those moments when you get to see them play out.
Yeah, look, I thought the atmosphere at Barclays was really good. The James Madison Wisconsin game, it was loud and it was exciting. And, you know, early on today, you felt it as well with James Madison and Duke. Duke just took the crowd out of the game. But look, James Madison is a great story. You know, I think it was 4 years ago, they only won two league games. This is their first main draw win in the NCAA tournament since 1983. Program has come a long way. Just even though they got blasted today, just a great experience for them to win a tournament game, and now you see how they build off it.
How do you like Barclays for the college setting? So not just hosting conference tournaments, but also hosting NCAA games.
Look, it's not the Garden. Nothing is. But, hey, the atmosphere was really good. I was impressed. It's just a shame that the two games today were so lopsided. But Friday was really fun. You know, the Florida Atlantic Northwestern game going to overtime. You know, Vermont pushing Duke there for about 25 minutes. And then, obviously, Northwestern JMU. Wisconsin JMU was fun as well. It's a shame today that the crowds really couldn't get into it with just such blowouts.
Yeah, kind of interesting, too, that all four of the one seeds advance, which we haven't seen in a few years.
Yeah, look, first time since 2019 that all four ones and all four number twos advanced. It is a little disappointing. Obviously, we all love Cinderella's, but I do think the one bonus is really, really, really good matchups. You know, that's the one thing when you get the Cinderella's, sometimes it leads to blowouts later on. There are so many really good games. You know, Iowa State, Illinois, Gonzaga, Purdue, Tennessee, Creighton. I go on and on. I mean, there are a ton of games that, you know, we could have a lot. We could have an epic Sweet 16, Elite Eight. And I think that's really what you want. As much as people love Cinderella's, this could lead to just some absolute classic games.
It definitely could, although I think there are people just in general who see what UConn has done and how this year they're the Big East regular season champions, Big East tournament champions. They won 31 games again. Of course, it's March, so anything can happen, but it's hard to imagine a team being able to go toe-to-toe with them considering their run now in the tournament.
They've been utterly dominant the last 2 years, there's no doubt, but there are a lot of really good teams out there. I think the Illinois-Iowa State winner can absolutely beat UConn, could really, really give them a game. You know, Houston is obviously terrific. North Carolina's playing great. You know, Purdue, we can't forget about them. They look awesome today.
Yes.
You know, I look, UConn's my pick. I'm sticking with it. I think they're terrific, and they've been utterly dominant, but I don't expect them to just walk here through to the Final Four to a national championship. They're going to get some tough games here the rest of the way.
And they should, of course. And Dan Hurley's got them battle-tested. Feels like they've played through what is one of the better leagues in the NCAA. And now, of course, they've got their three perfect teams to back up that point. All right, you can find Zach on Twitter at NewYorkPost_Brazil. So B-R-A-Z-I-L-L-E. And it's Zach Braziller joining us for the first time here on After Hours after a weekend of basketball Barclays. Zach, thanks so much. It's great to catch up with you.
All right, Amy, my pleasure. Have a good one.
So all eight top seeds into the Sweet 16, which is half of them, right? For the fifth time since 1979, first time since 2019. And we'll see on the women's side if that holds true as well. So far, it definitely has. Maybe a little more top heavy in 2024, but that doesn't mean there... Well, actually, that could mean we'll have more chaos and some tight games, some real compelling matchups moving forward, though we do love the Cinderellas, and there is still NC State if you want a team that's not even supposed to be here. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, we're asking you which you prefer. Is it a top-heavy Sweet 16 where we're talking about ones and twos and threes and fives, only one double-figure seed that's still standing, or would you rather see complete and total chaos? I actually haven't even looked at my bracket yet. I suppose there could be that, especially since I had Wisconsin pick to the Final Four. 855-212-4227 on Twitter and Facebook, we're glad to connect with you. A couple of new posts up there as we start the work week. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A game of would you rather, kind of. Would you rather see the Blue Bloods move on, the top seeds move on, so you get the kind of matchups that we've got coming up this year in the Sweet 16. It's been since 2019 that all eight of the lowest seeds, so the ones and the twos, have advanced to the second weekend. But that means we've got battles like number two, Iowa State, number three, Illinois. That's in the East. We've got North Carolina against Alabama. That's in the West. We've got Houston versus Duke. Talk about two completely different styles. That's one of your regional semifinals in the South. And then Purdue and Gonzaga in the Midwest. Wow, looking forward to that one, as well as Tennessee and Creighton. I think that I want good games. Whatever they happen to be, I'll take the good games. Into overtime, the ones that go down to the wire. So far, the shot of the tournament, just unfortunate that it didn't end in a win. But the shot of the tournament, Anderson Garcia nailing a three with nanoseconds to go. Divorce overtime against Houston. An inbounds play with under a second and a half left on the clock. And he's a big man who doesn't shoot threes. He's the only guy left open once the inbounds stack breaks up and the defense clamps down on, I mean, it was clearly a defensive mistake, but the defense follows the shooters and there's Anderson Garcia. Left all by himself. He had no choice but to take the shot, and it was perfect. Amazing. The noise in the arena was awesome. And so those are the types of shots that we love. Stories like Jack Golke, who, gosh, I think is 25 years old, of the Oakland Grizzlies, having the game of his life in the opening round on the biggest stage. We love stories like Utah State, though they did run into Purdue. But the way that Utah State built the team from almost nothing going back to last year is phenomenal. If you haven't heard the story, Danny Sprinkle, the Mountain West Coach of the Year, after leading his team to the conference title, but this... After he takes over, the transfer portal bites Utah State hard. Left on his roster from a year ago, no one who'd even scored a single point for the team previously. And so he has to build his team through the transfer portal. They end up winning a game in the first round of the NCAA tournament, though running into a buzzsaw in Purdue.
The season we had, I mean, it was historic for Utah State to win 28 games, an outright Mountain West championship, to win a game in the NCAA tournament against a tough Big 12 team. Couldn't be more proud of our guys.
Yeah, pretty impressive. But it appears as though we're in a tournament where there is a major separation between the best of the best and then those who, hey, great to get in, love to see a little chaos. They're working their arses off. But what do we hear from Jerry Palm going back to Selection Sunday? The top three teams, Purdue, UConn, North Carolina. If you're placing bets, filling out brackets, those three are heads and shoulders above the rest. Now, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win, but just that in every ranking or metric that matters, not to mention the eye test, those three outdistance themselves from the rest of college hoops. But still a pretty incredible story, the Utah State Aggies. Now, the Purdue Boilermakers started a little slowly, but similar to what UConn was able to do and use the advantage in the paint, the size in the paint. Another performance from Zach Edey that is, gosh, just so much fun to watch. 23 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 block shots, 2 steals. And honestly, I felt like he had a slower start. They were clamping down on Zach. But then what do you get instead? Trey Kaufman-Wren in the first half all over the place. Couple of offensive putbacks and ones. 18 points, 18 rebounds. So yeah, we focus on Zach Edey, and for good reason. But this team, Matt Painter's team, is more than just Zach. Though, I mean, it's easy to sing his praises.
He's just performed like he has, you know, here the last couple years. You know, 3 years ago, he was a good player for us. You know, he caused problems, he did things, but it wasn't where he is now. He's just continued to get better, and, you know, we expect it.
No satisfaction. I don't think anybody on this team, I didn't come back to make the Sweet 16. I came back to make a run, like a deep run. Nobody's satisfied with where we are now. Everybody wants to keep pushing, and we're going to keep taking care of our bodies, keep executing, focus on this game plan, and prepare for Gonzaga.
But here's the thing, though. You can't earn that ultimate redemption after falling to a 16 last spring, just the second team ever to do it. And then watching Virginia win the title the following season, right? So 2019, the lowest of the lows, the bottom of the barrel. Oh, 2018, sorry. Lowest of the lows, bottom of the barrel, and then 19 winning it all. Could that be Purdue's story? 106 points in this game against Utah State. Now they're sitting on 31 wins, breaking the school's single season record for victories. Shot 65% from the field. Gonzaga had no trouble with Kansas. And so it's going to be impressive to see those two teams square off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Here I am talking about Purdue and its offense and the points in the paint. Well, Gonzaga shot 61% from the floor against Kansas and nearly doubled them up in the second half. Mark Few's team, they're locked in now.
Just an awesome, awesome performance by these guys and the rest of the guys in the locker room, especially that second half of defense. We talked at halftime. We had to bear down here and start getting some stops. Our offense was clicking really, really well, and to their credit, not only did they get the stops we needed, but we also shored up the glass, which was a problem in the first half. So couldn't be more proud. As I told them in the locker room, I mean, it's incredible for 9 straight Sweet 16s. What these guys have been able to do, especially in lieu of where we were earlier in the year, but all the ones that came before them that set this thing up. It's a testament to all the great players that came through this program.
As a team, we know, you know, how the coaches how they want us to be Zags, and they just represent the school, and we want to represent them too. And we just play hard, and they got the plan for us. They set it up for us, and you know, we just go out there and play, and we just get those wins, and it feels good.
It's so different than what we've seen or heard about Gonzaga in the last, say, 5-6 years, when they got so close got to the Final Four, the championship game, still denied that title under Mark Few, and now flying so far under the radar. Maybe not now after blasting Kansas, and certainly not once they've got the entire nation's attention against the top seed Purdue. But this may be beneficial for the Bulldogs, or the Zags, whichever one. The fact that they're not attracting a ton of attention, they can do their thing, they can find that rhythm again, and they're playing their best basketball of the year. This after being on the bubble, say, a month ago. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Tommy is in Knoxville. Tommy, welcome to After Hours.
Good evening, Amy. I love to hear you late at night when I'm driving around. I'm a loyal Tennessee fan, and you hadn't talked much about Tennessee. They are in the Sweet 16, and the Lady Vols are still alive, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee can beat anybody, but they can also be beat by just about anybody.
Oh, I think that's not pretty standard.
Yeah, they're not when they're not shooting well like they did against Texas, 3 of 25 from 3 points, 12%. Mm-hmm. But Tennessee plays good defense, and that's kind of the thing I wanted to talk about was their defense keeps them in any game, and if they can hit a few clutch shots like they did, a couple of late free throws, they can beat a good team like Texas.
Well, what I liked about their performance versus the Longhorns is that they played the tight defense in the physical defense at the same time, not giving up a ton of free throws, right? Not putting Texas on the free throw stripe a ton. The Longhorns are a really good free throw shooting team. And so in a tight game like that one, you want to play straight up D. You want to play D without fouling, because if you put them on the free throw line, then obviously clock is stopped and it really gives a good free throw shooting team gives them an advantage. But that was not the case. I mean, there were a few, like I said, but I like the way that they were able to come out and play their style, even when the shots weren't falling. As you point out, they were holding Texas under 20 points in the first half. That was really impressive.
Yeah, of course, Texas defense had a lot to do with Dalton Knecht not hitting very well, but although he did come through in the clutch at the end. But one defensive thing. It was a real shame that official called a foul on the kid from Samford. I think it's Stanton McCray, who caught the guy from Kansas, and they called a foul on the fact that the guy didn't catch the rim and fell on his back. But the guy made such a clean block. It's a shame they don't have replay for stuff like that, because if you had replay for that, they would have overturned that and. Samford would have had a good chance to be another winner. We're asking about chaos. 5 or 9 through 14 all have wins. So there's some chaos in this tournament, but I like the way it's going.
Yeah, there is. There was, I guess we should say. Certainly were some great results, some fun results, like the 14s, the 13s, they had a couple of 12s. The issue, though, is that they have mostly been eliminated other than what we have left in NC State. So that's the only double-figure seed still standing. Clemson is a 6, so you have an 11 and you have a 6. Otherwise, everybody else is in the top 5 seeds.
Yeah, one other little Tennessee note. South Carolina wouldn't be undefeated if Tennessee had managed to cover the last 1.2 seconds in the SEC game.
Talking about women now. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you did not have an undefeated South Carolina team. So good defense. You got to go all the way 40 minutes.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear from you in Knoxville, Tommy. It's a lot of fun this time of the year when you have not one but two teams that you can enjoy.
Yeah, go ball.
Thanks for your phone call. 855-212-4227. I am going to disagree with him, though. I do not need to see replay in college basketball. I'm good. I mean, they use the video to determine clock, but I don't need to be seeing fouls that are challenged and all that jazz. That they'll come together. They'll do conferences. Sometimes you'll see a group of officials change a call, and that's okay with me. But these games already stop enough for free throws. There are plenty of whistles. I do not need to see them stopped for replay, because it seems like, well, replay when it comes to judgment calls like fouls and that type of thing. It seems like whenever there is a need for replay, whether it's a ball that went out of bounds, whether, like I say, it's a clock issue, oh my gosh, it takes forever. So I'm okay with allowing some of these judgment calls to just go. Very rarely do you have, I think, the need for replay on such an egregious call. When it comes to that, these fouls generally tend to even out. And it's on the kids, it's on the athletes to adjust to the officials, not the other way around. So if they're calling it tight, which, heavens, they were calling it tight in Houston A&M, and it was a physical game. But when they're calling it tight, it's up to you to adjust to how the officials are blowing the whistles. I mean, it was frustrating, too, in some of the other games to see the constant stops and starts with all the whistles. I'm trying to think of the other game. I mean, Houston, Texas A&M was definitely not a lot of fun. Alabama got saddled with a lot of calls, too. There were a lot of whistles in that game. But again, it's on the student athletes to adjust to how the officials are calling it as long as they're consistent. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, Dave Roberts speaks as the Dodgers are getting set to start their stateside portion of their regular season. Have not heard from Shohei Ohtani yet, but he's expected to address the media on Monday. And there have been some new developments in the case with his interpreter, who's accused of bilking $4.5 million.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
$1 million plus from Ohtani's accounts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Kind of is what it is. I mean, that's helped the situation. I hope, you know, show is good. But, you know, at the end of the day, I have to make sure we take our jobs. No matter, like I said, no matter what cards we're dealt, we're going to play them.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Really, what can the Dodgers say at this point? They probably feel like they don't know much more than the rest of us. And I actually wondered about this over the weekend. How many of them are reading the articles? How many of them are listening to the interviews? How many of them are watching on TV? I mean, some of these guys do pay attention to the media. Others don't, for sure. But they haven't even started the season yet here stateside. Two games in South Korea when all the news broke. And the allegations were made, well, first one set of allegations, but then a complete and utter about face. And boy, the more that I've read into the timeline and the flip-flopping, the less I'm able to buy the accounts of Shohei Ohtani's camp at face value. And there is a ton of speculation still about how Major League Baseball might handle this, about how we might end up seeing Ippei Mitsuhara, the now disgraced interpreter, taking the fall simply so that Shohei Ohtani can be protected. Now, here's the deal. If there was a smoking gun Meaning, if there was some definitive piece of evidence or testimony that connected Ohtani to the gambling beyond what Mitsuhara initially told ESPN, that was later recounted. Now, remember, he was made available to ESPN by Ohtani's camp. And boy, they have spun quite an impressive yarn. Now, see, I got to be careful that I don't call it that. It seems like a big yarn and a big explanation to do damage control. It seems like they've got answers for everything about how Mitsuhara was misleading Ohtani. That's why when he gave his story on Tuesday, nobody blinked. Ohtani apparently can't speak a lick of English. I'm being sarcastic now. We know he can speak English. Had no idea what was going on. Got blindsided. Found out the same time as the rest of the team that Mitsuhara had a gambling addiction. And that after that, hours later, it was discovered that all the money was gone. He had no clue. That's just too far-fetched for me. I have a far easier time believing that Ohtani paid off Mitsuhara's gambling debts. But according to a lot of people in the industry, even that story is hard to believe. There's a lot of people around the industry, certainly in the media, and again, there's no smoking gun that can tie Ohtani, that can tie Ohtani's knowledge and complicity with this bookie, right? Certainly his money is there, but if Ohtani's camp can say that he was in the dark and it was completely stolen, then there are no ties. And if there are no actual ties via evidence or testimony, then while he may end up getting a slap on the wrist for Major League Baseball as a show of it, he can continue to play. Obviously, his money is the key to everything, right? Even if Mitsuhara eventually gets a payoff, which, again, there's no evidence of that, but even if he does, none of that can happen without Ohtani's money. None of that can happen without Ohtani's contract and Ohtani continuing to play baseball. Everything revolves around Shohei Ohtani's popularity and his money. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What we found out is that Shohei is going to address the media coming up on Monday. And this was not because the Dodgers are making him or even requested that he do it. He went into the Dodgers clubhouse on Sunday and said he would make himself available to reporters and he would address the gambling allegations, the theft allegations the next day. So coming up on Monday afternoon, he is going to speak to the media. He's got a different interpreter now as the season begins on Thursday, right? It's Thursday. It's After Hours on our Facebook page and also on our show Twitter or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Are you looking for Cinderellas? Well, Cinderella, a lot of the Cinderellas are gone. Would you prefer Cinderellas or do you like this idea of having most of the low seeds still advancing, still alive into the Sweet 16? That includes all four number ones and all four number twos. Dave Roberts spoke to reporters on Sunday. And again, they're just back from Korea. They're trying to get, I'm sure, get rid of the jet lag and find that energy again. Turn right side up after returning to Los Angeles. And they have a couple more days. But regardless of whether the Dodgers know anything or say anything, fact is they're going to continue to get questions. So, Dave, how does the team move past all this?
I think we're certainly battle-tested from that regard. And we've shown over the years that we continue to move forward and not to be insensitive for various situations, but we all understand we have jobs to do. And so, you know, first and foremost, playing baseball and preparing has got to be a priority. Once you get here, people just get back to work and do their things. I think athletes, you know, by and large, have a very good ability to compartmentalize. And, you know, I think that that's just kind of how we're wired. And so, you know, once you get here, like I said, I wouldn't see anything different from the way our guys are preparing.
That is a great point. So true from Dave Roberts. This is how athletes have to be, because they've got to be able to perform under pressure on the biggest stages in the game, and they've got to do it regardless of what's happening in their personal lives. And so very often it's a haven. It's a way for them to leave that on the side for now. Again, whether it's personal, whether it's professional, whether it's financial, it's a break for their brains to go ahead and focus on what comes the most naturally to them. But yes, Shohei is scheduled to speak on Monday.
I think it's good. I think it's the right thing to do, and I'm happy he's going to speak and speak to what he knows and give his thoughts on the whole situation. I think it'll give us all a little bit more clarity.
Once again, Ohtani's not been accused of any gambling, and none of the bets allegedly made by Mitsuhara were made on baseball. At least there's no evidence of that. But since sports betting is still illegal in California and they were using an illegal bookie, I'm sorry, not they, he allegedly was using an illegal bookie. And since that bookie had his home raided in October, well, this is the chain of events. There is a department investigation by Major League Baseball, but Ohtani will continue to play and we'll hear from him in mere hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.